Last week, we stood at the beginning of Peter's post-sugar. Try again. Last Sunday, we stood with Peter at the beginning of his Pentecost sermon. The first bold proclamation of the resurrection. Diane reminded us that Pentecost was not a quiet spiritual moment, but a disruptive, world-shifting event. The spirits rushing in like a mighty wind, wrestling like tongues of fire, filling the disciples with courage and clarity. Today, we pick up right where she left off. It's important to remember the scene. The disciples had just been filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered in a way that never had been before. But what's striking about this? The text doesn't indicate that the crowd feels the wind or sees the flames. They don't witness the dramatic signs that overwhelm the disciples. What they do experience is far more personal and surprising. They hear the apostles speaking directly to them in their own languages. This is what captures their attention. This is what opens their hearts. This is what prepares them to hear Peter's message. So when Peter stands to speak, he is addressing a crowd already touched by the Spirit, not through spectacle, but through understanding. The Spirit has already begun the work of translation, connection, and invitation. And now Peter continues the sermon we began last week, proclaiming that Jesus is not only risen, but the Messiah who gives the Spirit, the one who shapes a new people, now with a new identity and a new mission. As Peter continues his sermon, he makes a bold and essential claim. God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Peter is not simply identifying Jesus' title. He is defining the kind of Messiah Jesus is. The crowd may have expected a political liberator, a military leader, or even a restorer of national power. But Peter points to them something far deeper. Jesus is the Messiah who fills God's promises by giving the Holy Spirit. This is where Luke draws a powerful parallel. Just as God gave the law to Moses and Israel on Mount Sinai to shape the identity of the covenant people, Jesus now gives the Spirit to change the identity of the new people, a people formed not by region or ethnicity, but by the light, by the life and death and resurrection of Christ. The law at Sinai marked Israel as God's own. The Spirit of Pentecost marks the church as Christ's own. This is not a rejection of Israel's story, but the continuation of it. The next chapter in God's long, faithful work of forming people who bear God's character in the world. The Spirit is the sign that God is still shaping, still calling, still creating a community with purpose. And this is critical. The Spirit is not given for private inspiration or personal comfort alone. The Spirit is given to empower witness, to form a people, and live differently, to equip the church with mission that Jesus began. Peter's message is clear. Jesus is the Messiah who fulfills God's promises by giving the Spirit, and the Spirit is what makes us who we are. Jesus is the Messiah who fulfills God's promises by giving the Spirit, and the Spirit is what makes us who we are. When Peter finishes proclaiming that Jesus is both Lord and Messiah, the one who fulfills God's promises and gives the Spirit, something remarkable happens. The crowd is not defensive. They are not angry. They are not dismissive. Peter tells us that they are cut. Cut to the heart. But notice what cuts them. It is not accusation. It is recognition. It is the sudden awareness that God is doing something new, and they want to be part of it. The same Spirit who enables the disciples speaks in many languages is now working within the listener, opening them to transformation. Their question, what should we do? In that, the cry of people crushed by guilt, it is the response of people awkward. It is the response of people awakened to possibilities. The sense that God is inviting them into a new way of life, and they don't want to miss it. Peter's answer is simple, but it's not small. Repent, turn towards God's way of life, be baptized, enter the community shaped by Christ, and finally, receive the Holy Spirit. Be empowered for a new identity and a new mission. Repentance here is not about shame. It's about recognition and reorientation. Baptism is not a ritual of fear. It's a doorway into belonging. And receiving the Spirit is not a reward. It's a gift. Peter is not telling them how to avoid punishment. He is inviting them into a life shaped by the risen Christ, a life marked by forgiveness, renewal, and purpose. This is the heart of the gospel's invitation. God is not simply calling us away from something. God is calling us towards something, towards a Spirit-formed identity and a mission that matters. After Peter proclaims the promise and extends the invitation, something extraordinary happens. People respond. Luke's scripture tells us that 3,000 were baptized that day, not because they were coerced, but because they recognized that God was doing something new and wanted to be part of it. Their response marks the beginning of a new community, shaped not by fear, but by the Spirit. And what does this new community do? They live differently. They identify leads to practice that reflect the heart of Christ. They learn together, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They pray together, grounding their lives in God's presence. They share what they have, ensuring that no one among them is in need. They break bread together, forming relationships of trust and compassion. They witness to the hope of the resurrection in both word and deed. This is not private. This is a public way of life. To belong to Christ through repentance and baptism is to receive a call. A call to participate in Christ's mission. The Spirit does not simply comfort us. The Spirit equips us. The Spirit sends us into our neighborhoods, our communities, our nation, and our world carrying the promise of forgiveness, the possibility of renewal, and the hope of new life. The early church did not exist for itself. It exists for the sake of the world God loves. And the same is true for us. We are not just recipients of God's promise. We are bearers of His promise. We are not just shaped by the Spirit. We are sent by the Spirit. We are not just invited into a new identity. We are called into a new mission. The invitation Peter extends is not only to believe something. The invitation Peter extends is for us to become something. Peter's sermon does not end with fear or judgment or shame. It ends with an invitation. an invitation into a new identity shaped by the risen Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who filled the disciples, who opened the ears of the crowd, who stirred their hearts, is still moving in the world and in us. The story of Acts reminds us that God's promises are not relics of the past. They are living realities. Jesus is still the Messiah who gives the Spirit. The Spirit is still forming a people who bear God's character. And the church is still called to participate in Christ's mission of forgiveness, renewal, and hope. Christ's mission of forgiveness, renewal, and hope. But this is not just a story about them. It's a story about us. Because we too live in a world full of noise, division, and uncertainty. We too long for clarity, belonging, and purpose. And just like the crowd at Pentecost, we may not see tongues of fire or rushing wind, but we do experience moments when God speaks to us in ways that only we can understand. Moments when our hearts are stirred, moments when we sense that God is inviting us into something deeper. This passage reminds us our identity is not defined by our past, our failures, or our fears, but the Spirit who claims us and lives in us. Repentance is not about shame. It's about turning towards the life God wants us to live. Baptism, it's not a once-in-a-life event. It's a lifelong calling to live as Christ's people. The Spirit equips us to love our neighbors, serve our communities, and carry hope into places that desperately need it. We are not spectators of Pentecost. We are its inheritors. We are not bystanders of the resurrection. We are participating in its ongoing work. The invitation Peter extended to the crowd is the same invitation extended to us today. Turn towards God's way. Belong to Christ's community. Receive the Spirit who shapes and sends us. Live as people whose identity is rooted not in fear or division, but in the promise-keeping love of God alive. This is our calling. This is our identity. This is our mission. The invitation into a new identity is not only for the crowds in Jerusalem, but it's for us, for our children, and for all who are away. And by the Spirit's power, we carry that invitation into the world God loves. Amen.